And we'll have the scripture to show you for that, you know.
Yes.
But every time I venture into the things of God, He always shows me new things. And so God showed me some new things today. Just like in life, I mean, even in nature, how God teaches me new things of when you think you know something, you don't know as you ought to know. And I remember even as a kid, I just thought that, oh, when the fall comes, that means that the leaves are dying, and that's the reason why they're changing colors. And till I learned from school that the leaves are not changing colors. It's changing colors, but it's changing back to its original color. So if you see leaves in the fall that's yellow, it's always been yellow. It's always been brown. It's always been that color. It's just the sun and the chlorophyll changes it when the sun is on it. So when we have a lack of sun, then guess what? It changes back into its original color, which is you'll see yellow and all that. And I'm thinking, no, it's because of the cold, right? It's because all of the coldness is changing and then it's dying. And now because it's dying, it's turning to yellow and blue. I mean, not blue, but yellow and brown. And then I had to look it up in my own phone and see. And then I seen that, yeah, it's going back to its original color. It's because of the chlorophyll that was on the, anyway. So I had to change my mind on that and say, you know what, I had to throw out everything I thought I knew about that, and I had to change. Then I remember going to Grant's Farm, and they gave me some milk, and I had took a sip of the milk, and I spit that milk out so fast. I said, man, this is some polluted milk. And they told me, no, this is the real milk. He said, what you drink is the bad milk. I said, no, I don't. I drink the good milk. This is the bad milk. Then I did my research on that, and I found out that when it was wrong again, that milk that I drink is pasteurized and starch and sugars and all different types of stuff. And that was the real milk. So I said, Lord, do I know anything? You know, I keep going through life, and, you know, I keep getting corrected by different things. And the Lord said, you know what, it's a beautiful thing to say, hey, I was wrong about something, and this is right about something. But one of the best things that God showed me is why I am righteous. And when I read scriptures about why I was righteous and my own concept of why I was righteous, when they clashed together, I said, no. I'm right because of things I do. I'm right because I do this and do that, and I do this and I do that. And the Lord says, oh, you're going to let me teach you again and show you why you are really right with me? Or are you going to stay your own self? You know, something I've learned is this. God, how many of y'all want the wisdom that comes from God and you just don't want to say in one box, amen? The wisdom that comes from God comes to us when we're open and we're humbled, amen? And it says in James 4:6, but he gives more grace, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So when you have a heart to say, Lord, I'm open. I'm available. I may not know as much as I thought I know. You know, some of y'all are going to be challenged today because you may have already had a thought of what I think righteousness means. What I think holiness means. What do I think when I say I'm right with God? What does that mean? If I say I'm right with you, I am right with you by human standards. But if I say I'm right with God, it's about what he has done for us. Okay? The Bible says this in Galatians 2:16. Yet we know that a man is not justified, or that word justified is righteous, and placed in right standing with God by the works of the law. But only through faith in God's beloved Son, Christ Jesus. And even we, as Jews, or you can paraphrase that as Christians, have believed in Christ Jesus, so that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by works of the law. What does that mean? That means if I do this, then God is happy with me, right? If I do the works of the law, then that's what makes me right with God. That's what I've learned on some of the years I've grown up. But this word, Is this the reason why we come to church? Because of the Bible?
Amen.
Amen. We come to church because of the Word of God. So we have to always convert our thinking to what His thinking is. So that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by our works of the law. By observing the law, no one will ever be justified, declared free, healed of sin and its penalties. My God. That means that there is nothing that you can do to get free. But there's something that you can believe to get free. I don't care how many homework assignments you do for God. I don't care how many times you fast and pray for God. I don't care how many scriptures you read for God. It's more about what He has accomplished for you rather than for what you accomplished to Him. And when we have that settled in our mind, you know where fear comes from? Fear comes from, I haven't done enough. I haven't passed the assignment. I haven't done this enough. So I gotta put in a little bit more oomph into it. Amen. But once you understand God's system, you recognize that He has already paid the price for you. I'm just laying some groundwork before I get started. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one. Who was that one? That one man's offense was Adam. You remember, you go to school, you learn about Adam. He ate the tree of the good and evil, which God told him not to eat. And then it sent all of us to sin. Amen. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. And that's Jesus Christ. So, if I come to you, Marie, and I give you a gift, and I say it's righteousness, and I say this is yours, and I paid a heavy price for it, will you receive it? She took it out of my hand, right? But guess what? I'm the one that paid the price for it. She's the one that owned it now. This is what happens when we go to church. Righteousness, peace, joy, and the Holy Ghost. It's good. It's righteous. It's what God does. And then we preach to this. We preach to the stained glass windows. We preach to everything else. But we never give it to the person and say it's yours. If righteousness is something to be obtained, then you'll never get it. You'll never have it. Righteousness is the agreement of the heart that says, what you've done, I can't get, and I got it right here, right now. Some of the things that I kind of tell people in life of what to do, what not to do, I learned that I don't even have to do all that stuff. Once they have understanding that they're right with God, things just come to them. You don't even got to pray hard. Lord, please give me this new Cadillac. You gotta do all that. But once you understand whose I am, rather than what material things ain't nothing. When you know that you are a son of God or a daughter of God, then you don't pray for materials. You know that all things work together for your good. But when you're under the law, oh my God, you don't even understand the scriptures right. You read them, and you're thinking, man, God, I didn't even do this yet. I feel so bad about myself. Oh, man, I read this new scripture. I didn't do this one yet. I feel even more. No, no, no. You have an understanding about something. It's not a, I gotta do this. I get to do this. Because it's a gift given to me. Okay, we ain't linked on this, but we gonna link on. Matthew 16:5. I've read this scripture before, but now we're gonna read it in the new focus. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring any bread. Jesus said to them, watch and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they began discussing it among themselves, saying, we brought no bread.
Jesus mad at us, man. Jesus talking about the bread. We forgot the bread, Peter. What are we going to do? But Jesus was aware of this and said, oh, ye of little faith, why are you discussing amongst yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about the bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. That's what he was talking about. Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of the bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees. I promise you, man, I'm coming to people in their life, and I come and I've given them good words, good gifts, and then they'll look at me like, man, Wendell, why are you condemning me? Why are you hurting me? And the Lord will educate me and say, no, they don't know they're right with me yet. When they know that they're right with me, they'll understand what you're saying. But when they don't understand what real love is, everything that they're hearing is condemning them.
Absolutely.
They're hearing it, but they're not hearing love. They're not hearing grace. They're not hearing mercy. They're not hearing that their sins are forgiven. I'm not telling you to obtain this so you can get this. I'm saying you already got this, so walk in what you got.
Let's go!
For I will be merciful to your iniquities and your sins I will remember no more. We ain't talking about your sins no more. No more. Why? He's not dealing with that anymore. He died for that. So what is he dealing with? Do you acknowledge it? Condemnation in the heart breeds condemnation. And Grace Family Outreach Church, we breed champions in here. Why is that? Because we preach to you every week that you're the righteousness of God. Not by what you do, but what he's done for you. It was an exchange that happened that bought your freedom. Not what we've done. I've had so many people, even, you know, I was looking at the Prince of Egypt. All things are... I can't sing. I need some water,
hold
on. I need to take it down, though.
Oh, my
God. It's a beautiful song with Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey.
Oh, my God.
All things are possible. You can achieve. You can't achieve this. You can't achieve it. Oh, the melody is so sweet. But the message is so wrong. If you think you can achieve it, you'll come to God every time and feel condemned. You can fake and play this stuff at church.
What?
Yeah, I'm highly faith, bless the Lord, but you know you ain't did enough. You know that it's not about you, it's about him. He did enough for you. And when you understand this, man, it sets you free on a whole different level. They think that they was talking about the leaven. I'm not talking about the leaven. I'm not talking about what you left. Jesus said, didn't you remember that I multiplied that last week? I gave you more than enough. He said, ye of little faith. What do you mean little faith? They was believing low about who God is. I'm not thinking about that no more. I'm thinking about something that's here to try to corrupt your souls to believing that you haven't already got righteousness in your heart. Like I said, I'll give somebody something so beautiful, and next thing you know, they'll get it. And then next thing you know, this thing that's so beautiful will be a burden to them. I said, how is this a burden to you when I gave you something so precious, so beautiful? Why? Because they look at it, they know they're not worthy for it, and so now I gotta work for what you just gave me. Instead of just saying, I know I can't get this by my own merits, but I can receive this and to say, God, thank you for this gift that you've given me, the gift of righteousness, that you never see my sins no more. You never see my shame anymore. You see me as holy. You see me as like I've never sinned before in my life. The next thing you know, when people start believing that truth, I don't have to bark and preach to them about doing all these things. What happened is they walk into those arenas more accident than they did on purpose. Righteousness causes you to be a magnet to blessings. The Bible says you're blessed in the city, you're blessed in the field, you're blessed coming in, you're blessed coming out. Why? Because now you're not a chaser for blessings. Blessings is a chaser for you. When I see people chasing the wrong thing, oh man, this election, if this person don't get in, I'm going to go down. No? You righteous. The Bible says the wealth of the sinners laid up for the just. You the just. Everything is being laid up for you. Oh, here goes the big things. Do we believe it? None of this stuff gets activated until we believe. None of this. It's just laying here. Oh man, ooh, that's a nice message. But until I pick it up, until I get it, until I have it, check this out. I ain't renting it just on Sundays. I'm owning it Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Let's go.
Righteousness is mine. Like I said, people go to alcohol, drinking, overeat, anything of the habits because they don't feel right. I feel so bad about myself that I gotta tell you a story about myself that's not true today. Lying, deceiving, all comes because of insecurity. Where do insecurity come from? The garden. I didn't do something right that you said, God, so now I must hide. Now I must blame this woman for something. That's something else that liar do. He blames. Why? Because it started with him and it ends with the devil getting his head crushed by Jesus when you receive the truth. The Bible didn't say you, like I said, you bench press your way to the truth. You hear your way to the truth. The truth shall set you free when you seal your eyes on Jesus and believe the good work that he has done for you. Ain't no way around it, man. I've been believing certain stuff in my life, then I will believe this one thing about Jesus, the next thing you know, it's like a domino effect. All these other things start falling down. I said, whoa, Lord, this is a breakthrough. He said, this ain't no breakthrough. He said, you was just believing wrong about me. He said, once you believe right about me, then guess what? Righteous believing causes right things to happen in your life. Y'all love this scripture. And we know that all, that for those who love God, all things work together for the good. Who are the good? You. We are the good. So, if a tribulation, if I have something that's causing me to be patient and I'm stuck behind a traffic jam, oh man, can't believe we can't go nowhere right now. No. When you're the righteous, this is how you think. This is working for my good. Oh, man. I don't know which one to make a decision. I got to make a decision right now. No. Patience is nothing that you have to achieve and work for. Patience is a gift given to you so you can see how to make right decisions. Sometimes that devil is hiding. The Bible says, let patience have its perfect work. Let patience be there. It's a gift. But if you think that, oh man, I gotta be patient, you're still law-mindedness. You're still thinking you gotta work for patience and thinking that patience is not a gift that's given to you.
Come on.
Help me, Holy Spirit.
Come on, man.
Patience, love, joy, all these things are not something to be achieved. It's something to be received. It's yours. He wants you to own it, man. Depression is only here when we believe that everything in our life cannot be reversed. I'm in this hole. I can't get out. Guess what? You ain't gonna get out unless you believe out that He has rescued you, that He has redeemed you, that He has loved you with a love that no man can love. Believe the insides about you that God has believed. But when we don't, we throw it away. I went my dad rehab on houses. When I went in there, I seen 3 dead cats. I seen a 5 that no man should be breathing. I seen some stuff in the toilet. I seen some stuff on the wall. I seen graffiti. I said, man, let's get out of here. I think we got the wrong house. He says, no. The stuff on the floor said, no, this is a good ground. He looked at the wall. He looked past the wall and to the steel poles and said, no, ain't no cracks in this foundation. See, what Jesus has done for you, He has provided a foundation that is strong because of what Jesus has done. But if you look at the house, if you look at everything, oh man, I have a bad floor. Oh man, I lived in a bad neighborhood. Oh man, my parents were there. Oh man, this. And you're looking at the outside things, and you're not just looking at the simple truth that He has died and resurrected you to life. Then we focus on the wrong things. And we'll throw that house away. What is the house? Your body. I don't care about myself no more. I'm just going to throw my life away. Why? Because I'll never be right. Guess what? You ain't going to never be right unless you believe that Jesus has purchased your righteousness. This is the battle every week that a lot of Christians battle with. I ain't say unbelievers. I said Christians. Galatians was talking about, oh ye, you foolish Galatians. Galatians, where's the Christian? He said, I came to you in the truth about who Jesus was. Why are you not believing that it's by your works? Proverbs 17 says, a man of a crooked heart does not discover good. Check that out. A man with a crooked heart. It didn't say good ain't there. It said they can't discover it. What Jesus came to do is make your crooked heart a righteous heart. To make your crooked heart of what you used to believe about God a heart of love, a heart of compassion, a heart without fear. I can go anywhere, anytime, baby, and without fear. Why? Because I know God is with me. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He is with me. But David, you don't want to sleep with Bathsheba. He ain't with you. David, you don't want to sit that man up there to die. He ain't with you. David says, even though I walk, God didn't send him through there. He was walking. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's still with me. Fear says He ain't with you only until you do right. Then He'll be with you. That's man's philosophy of being with you. I have to tell the truth today. Because somebody done lied to me about who God is. Come on now. Somebody done lied to say that God is with me when I do right. Now, guess what? I gotta make sure I come back. Do God want you to do terrible things? No. God want you to lie? No. But when are you not going to lie? When I believe that I'm righteous. Which one comes first? Righteousness or my good morals? Right believing produces right living. But don't put the caboose before the engine. The engine is love. The engine is He saved you while you was a sinner. He loved you while you was in your weakness. He He loved you when you couldn't do nothing for yourself. My dad said that somebody fell in a hole that was 10 feet deep, something. I think he broke his leg or something, or hurt himself. And he was just laying there in the hole, in his ditch, until the morning came. Well, a man says this, you got yourself in that hole. I ain't have to finish. You better get yourself out. But sin, the sin condition, we got ourselves into a hole that we can't get out of. And Jesus came by the way. He saw us in this condition. He picked us up. He said, I know you couldn't get yourself out. And I came at the right time, at the right moment, to let you know that I love you. I came at the right time when you was at the weakest to show you that it was never about your strength. It was about my strength. I think the Bible says something like this. That in our times of weakness, that's when God's perfect strength comes out. I wonder why. So we will know, because you won't know real love. You'll have a half. This is a half worship. Thank you, Jesus, but it was really me, though. Oh. Hallelujah! But I'm still working this thing, though. And your praise can't be liberated because you really don't believe this wholeheartedly. You still think it's something about you that has to do something to be right with God instead of Jesus finished it off. When you pray for somebody and you see them healed, we give it all to Jesus. Why? Because he that started the good work is able to complete it. When it comes full circle, and we sing this song, and it's all about you. It really is all about you. It's a full circle around. Proverbs 24 says, for a just man falleth seven times. Just man, righteous man, holy man. If I'm just and I'm righteous, how in the world can I fall? Good question. And riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Wicked, twisted. When you're twisted, you got God backwards. Don't get God twisted. Amen. If I fall, I will get back up again. And if I fall, I will get back up again. And guess who keep rising me up? It's Jesus himself. We sing these songs, man. I love the lyrics. It says, I'm pressed, but not
crushed.
I'm pressed, but I'm not crushed. Why? Because the spirit of life still lives in me. So you can cut me, you can beat me, you can hurt me, mess with me psychologically, but that spirit of Christ will just keep rising right back up to the top. I said, Lord, how did I get out of this one right here? He said, you didn't. The question you need to be asking is, how did I get you out? Right. True praise can't come forth unless you say, God got me out of this. God got me out of this. God liberated me from depression. God liberated me from anxiety attack. God liberated me from fear. God liberated me from every stronghold that have pressed on my life and kept me down, trying to stop me from believing who I really was about myself. And that seed just keep coming up. Keep germinating that seed. Keep reading the word of God about that seed. Keep saying, this is who you are, Wendell. This is who you are, Wendell. And then next thing you know, I say, oh man, but I feel like a hypocrite because I have fear in that area. But I keep reading. And next thing you know, God breaks forth into that area where I couldn't break forth. The Bible calls it an incorruptible seed. The true seed, y'all, is the word of God.
when you place that seed in your heart, things will come and knock you down, but it'll just keep popping right back up again. That Donnie McClurkin, get back up again. I wish I had that on CD. Why? Because some of us have been knocked down. I can see it in your eyes. That this is, some of you all, this has been a trying week. And it's been knocking you down. But God says, guess what? He's talking to your spirit, man. Get back up. Get back up again. Why? Because I'm up. And if you look in the spirit realm, you are seated right next to him in the heavens. The Bible says, as he is, so are you in this world. Where is Jesus right now? He's up. He's all the way up. Why don't I feel all the way up there? It's about what my mind is. If my mind is not thinking like his mind, then I'm behind in my mind. And he says, get on my level. Get on where I'm saying about you. Moses, oh man, I got a stuttering problem. I can't go back. I can't do this. I'm a murderer in this town. I can't go back and lead the people to freedom. He says, I am that I am. Not you are that you are. I didn't tell the murderer to lead them out. I am that I am. I'm going to lead them out. You just point them to me. Just like us. We don't point ourselves to us. We point ourselves to Christ. You know, when we get in trouble, when we point ourselves to us, that's how depression happens. It's a wind cycle that you can't get out. You're trying to get out, but you can't get out until somebody interrupts you and say, look to Jesus, which comes with your help. Your help coming from the Lord. Hallelujah. So when I see people with their heads hang low and beating themselves up, I say all things work together for the good. They're just empty words unless you believe that you're right for God. They're just empty words unless God is talking to you on this level and handing you stuff. And this is where God is talking to you. And we're down here thinking that we can relate to God. And you can't even see where he's talking because he's right here. And we're talking around down here. And he says, come up here. But guess what? We can't come up here by our own. Love lifted me and put me on that level. Love is not fear. Fear says, I've done something to get on that level. Love says, he done something to bring me to that level. So when people say, love lifted me, he lifted me to have a conversation with Jesus. And now that I have a conversation with Jesus, the truth set me free. Now I know the real me. You know, it says evil communication corrupts good manners. Think about it. Why? Because whoever I'm communicating to, and I remember when we was in wrestling, and my coach told me that I was having a struggle with this guy when I was wrestling at Bovine. I said, man, what's going on? And I started wrestling with this person. I'm in the flesh. He was a little bit weaker than me. He just wasn't on the level because he wasn't experiencing me. I started wrestling with this guy that was experienced. I started wrestling with somebody else. He was lacking practice. He wasn't even doing the things that he was, you know. And when I was wrestling with him, I felt like I was, he said, no, you got to wrestle with this person right here. I said, why? He said, because what's happening is your strength level is so low when you wrestle with this person. And I want you to wrestle this person. Well, this is the same thing analogy. when you're talking to God and you have a conversation with God, he lifts you out of depression. He lifts you out of fear. Now I can have a conversation with him because I can relate to him. And now my muscles, my senses, my you know, they call it the sixth sense, is really just tapping into the spirit realm. When I'm not talking to people that's not tapping into the spirit realm and their corner realm, it's almost like talking to deaf ears. It's like trying to show a blind man colors. I'm talking, but they can't hear me because they hear in their flesh. But once they say, oh my God, God loved me, he redeemed me, next thing you know, everything that I've already said to them makes sense now. That's what my man, Mr. Burgess, he said, Wendell, he said, all the stuff I've been learning from a child, he said, the scriptures was coming to him. And then when you're under grace and mercy and love and righteousness, all this stuff makes sense. Where this was a burden, now it's a blessing. Grace flips it. Where the things now that I used to think, I don't think no more as a child, I think as a blessing. Oh, you gotta evangelize, you gotta go win people for Christ. Oh man, here we go, knocking on these doors. It's a burden to me, man. But now, thank you, Jesus, I get to tell somebody about Jesus. It's a love thing now. It's not a burden no more. Like I said, me and my brother Irvin was at the movies talking about Jesus. He was talking about love. I was talking about love. Then this lady came along. What y'all talking about? I said, you come on, join too. I need purpose. Let's pray for you. Watch my friend do some accident in your life. And you come back and tell me who Jesus really is. When I was at UPS, I didn't have to try the outreach. I was the outreach. Because Jesus outreached to my life. And so let's pray. Let's pray and show what Jesus can do in your life. If it's a burden, you're still under the law. You're still thinking, I got to evangelize. So I can be right. Now I get to evangelize because he has made me righteous. I gotta have patience so God can love me. Now I get to have patience because patience showed me what I'm supposed to have and what I'm not supposed to have. Let that devil show himself. He can't stand patience. He will show his ugly head every single time. And you don't know which decision to make. Be like, oh, this keep talking. Thank you, devil, for letting me know which one is that. Because this one ain't Christ, but this one is Christ. Everything that you read from Proverbs. Oh, man. God told me not to hang out with people that's in strife. But I want to hang out with people that's in strife because they... No. Read this because he's trying to protect you. You don't read this to try to obey. You read this because of love. That's why, like I said, when my mom that loves me with unconditional love, when she used to talk to me as a teenager and I started rebelling a little bit in my heart, I never did disrespect that, so, but I just got into rebellion. Because I believe I was still under the law. I was looking at what she was, oh man, my mom, she's just my killjoy. She my love joy. I just love just to sit and listen to my mom pop.
Come on, man!
I love it.
Soak up that wisdom. Let's go.
I just keep talking, mom. Keep talking. Because now I hear God.
Absolutely.
Where before, I thought, man, she tell me this. I ain't even feel this yet.
Please don't kill my vibe.
No. It's love. Same thing with my father. My boy, your boy, clean up that room. You got no vengeance, dude.
I ain't got no vengeance, man. I'm tired.
He was talking to the Christ in me. He knew I had no vengeance. This wasn't tapping in. I said, yes, I do. I've seen this happen. Somebody will come to you and say, you got enough. You can do it. You got enough to do this. And you'll look at that person and hate them. You hate yourself. You don't hate them. You don't know who you are. So I'll challenge you and say, do this for the church. Do this.
because God loves you. And you'll look at it as a burden. Because you're still under the law. You're still looking at it, I gotta do this, I gotta do this. Everything is a get to under the love of liberty. Get to. When you don't hear that get to, and you sit here at the got to, you gotta get that out your head. God didn't got to love me. God didn't got to go on the cross for me. He got to. He said, I want to. The Bible says, he took this cross. He embraced it. He embraced it. He hugged it. What are you doing hugging something that's hurting you? What type of love will place itself in harm's way? You getting killed, Jesus. You getting maimed, Jesus. You getting whipped so bad that people don't even recognize who you are anymore. Why are you doing this for me? And I'm the one that sinned against you. It's just because I love you. I'm demonstrating to you what real love is. So I'm hugging this, letting you know I want to do this
for you. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Somebody praise God after that one. He was talking to the Pharisee. He said, are you blind? Can't you see I'm not talking about your sins? I'm talking about loving you. The Bible says the law frustrates grace. It frustrates. Because why? Grace is always trying to give. You look beautiful today. No, I don't.
What are you doing?
You're the best thing that ever happened. No, I ain't. I love you so much that I took my son, the best precious thing I had, to die for you so you could be Umo number one. No, I ain't. I'm number two. I'm still number two because I ain't done enough to be number one. And God is still trying to place us in a position of love. And we're still looking at our flesh saying we ain't earned it yet. It's a cry. When I see it, when people do it, and my heart cries in silence because God wants you to love yourself like he loves you. He wants you to care for yourself like he cares for you. Hallelujah. Anything that you see out of the scriptures is always for your good. Think about that. Now, think about this. Why am I not receiving anything? Why am I not? I mean, some of y'all in this church, and you have gone from one level, from testimony to testimony. But even you say, I got something even more for you. Amen. This is not just talking to one person, it's talking to all of them. It's talking to me, it's talking to you. Holy Spirit says, you believe me on this level. I want to show you some new things about yourself. I want to show you how loving of a father that I really am to you. I want to show you those areas where it's been empty in your life. I want to replace that with me. And I want you to, everybody just give yourself a hug. Holy Spirit just want to love on you today. You know, we sing that song, I want to rock with you. God, I want to rock with you. He want to rock. No. He want to rock with you, man. Not all night, but all day, all morning, all evening, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all over again. That's why he died for you. He died so you never have to look at yourself and disgust you. He died so you can have a relationship with a loving God that cares about you, that cares about your daughters and sons, that cares about any area of your life that's been hurt, that's been chained. Righteousness is the hardest thing to digest in this world because we go to work. We pay for something. We know if I go to Denny's that I gotta give them something if I'm gonna eat something. I know if I go to McDonald's and I want that. I got kind of distracted. I got kind of mad because they took the steak and egg out.
Bro.
Yeah, it's real. Go back. Okay. Yeah. So, but if I want an egg white, like, I got to give them something so I can get something. Thank you, Jesus. He loved me laughing, you know. But when we come to the throne room, thank you, Jesus. We have to turn that process off. Because our process has been like this. I gotta buy. And this is how mine is going. Full circle. And it, you know what? This is the earth. You got to. Bible says, as long as there's the earth, there's always sowing and reaping. Okay? So everything on this earth, you have to earn. But when it comes to his righteousness, his gift of righteousness, that process, when it comes to him, you have to go, slowly rotate this thing back around. Because Jesus had to come as a man. You see, the thing about it is, he usurped the system. Man got themselves into trouble. So man had to get themselves out of trouble. He said, all right, I'll just come as a man. And then die. Because guess what? Man still got to sow this. Because man sold this. So I'll come as a man. And I'm going to sow righteousness for you. I'm going to hang on that tree for you. And then he sowed his body for us to be set free in him. So when we come to Jesus, we have to stop that. Flip it around. Say thank you. You know, I believe ain't no man tapped in unless they're doing this. If you still doing this and you come to the throne room, guess what? It's good to know that you're doing this so you can say, holy is the Lamb. And as you continue to sing, it slows down. Then it turns around. Then next thing you know, a tear hits your heart. Then next thing you know, the emotions start hitting. Oh my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. You're not good. You're too good. Thank you. I want to tell that. Stop singing right now because I'm about to break forth in tears. And I don't know if I can preach after this. I got to slow it down. I got to gather myself back together because once this starts going, man, it causes peace. It causes joy. Even when he talked to you about the promise, you know, Keisha, my wonderful, beautiful wife, talked to you about your vision. When he told Abraham, he said, well, I promise I will do. So you're looking at the vision to see what Jesus is going to do in your life. You're not looking at the vision to see what you're going to do. Now, you're going to be a steward of what he gives you, of the promise that he gives you. But you're going to receive it unconditional. It's like the next oxygen that you're going to breathe. You're going to receive it unconditional. You still got to suck on an oxygen. Inhale it. Breathe it back out. But it's something that's given to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for Jesus, y'all.